Former Justice Secretary Vitaliano Aguirre believes the retractions in the drug cases against Senator Laila de Lima are meant to discredit the Duterte administration. The Philippine poll body declares the country ready for Monday's presidential elections. Later on in the program, we'll be joined by former Senator Nikki Koseteng, who is joining calls to prevent another Marcos presidency. Two Omicron subvariants driving the spike in COVID-19 cases in Africa. And Philippine inflation quickens to 4.9% in April. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. Topping the news at this hour, former Justice Secretary Vitaliano Aguirre claims the retractions of allegations against Senator Laila de Lima are only meant to discredit the Duterte administration. He asserts the public should suspect the timing of the recantations, claiming it is aimed at boosting the re-election bid of the detained senator. De Lima has been detained for 5 years now over her alleged involvement in the illegal drug trade. But two key witnesses have retracted their testimonies, with former prisons official Rafael Ragos naming Aguirre as among those who pressured him to testify.
It merong malaking conspiracy para yung mga dating mga witnesses against De Lima ay mapabaliktad. Inumpisa yan kay Kerwin. And then kay Ragos. Tapos I was informed that ina-target nila si Nakulamco, si Valeroso, si Junel, at may iba pa. Pati yung driver, former driver si De Lima, ay napabagtad din niya. Yung reaction nito talagang teach to discredit the Duterte administration na nakataas na survey up to the very end and one until the president is running.
Aguirre also implied Ragos recanted his testimony for money.
Yung retraction yan, iisa lang ang common denominator niyan. Ang common denominator ng lahat ng nagre-retract, siguro 99.9% ng lahat ng nagre-retract, ilang salaysay, yung pang salaysay sa Kusgado ay pera. Binibigyan ng pera yung nagre-retract.
Do you have proof, they have personal knowledge that Ragos received money in order to retract?
Wala nga, wala pa kung sa ngayon. Kasi bigla na lang susulpot yan after 5 years. You expect me to have an evidence na siya binigyan ng pera.
Senator De Lima pushing back on Aguirre's claims. In an interview with ABS-CBN News, De Lima said she is more interested in clearing her name than winning her re-election bid. De Lima also rejects allegations she coerced witnesses to retract their statements, saying she has no capacity to do so. She's now challenging Justice Secretary Menardo Guevara to find out the truth. De Lima believes President Duterte is the one behind the drug cases against her. De Lima is a staunch Duterte critic who initiated a probe into the president's bloody drug war prior to her arrest. It is all systems go for Monday's presidential elections. That's according to the Philippine poll body. Poll Commissioner George Garcia says almost 100% of vote counting machines, SD cards, and ballots that will be used are ready. Garcia also allayed concerns over incidents of malfunctioning VCMs.
Meron po kasi tayong mga hubs, na repair hubs na in-establish mismo sa buong Pilipinas. 8 repair hubs po yon. Na walang ibang gagawin kung hindi po magawa ng gawin yung mga makina na maaaring subject of repair po. Ang plano pa nga po ay i-improve ito at increase pa mula sa 8, hopefully maging 12 pa nationwide. At ang plano po, nag-coordinate na po tayo sa Armed Forces of the Philippines na kung sakasakali magkakaproblema yung ilang makina nung madamihan, kinakailang i-airlift na po gagamitin natin ang mga air assets ng AFP. Meron po naman tayong mga contingency machine na available po. In fact, meron po tayong 1,000 contingency machine na available.
The Philippine Defense Department not seeing major security threats that may disrupt next week's elections. Defense Secretary Delfin Lorenzana also refutes claims chaos may ensue after the polls. He says government troops are ready to respond should disputes sparked by political rivalries erupt across the country.
Isolated lang.
Mm-hmm.
Yung alam naman ng community kung saan yung hotspot eh, kasi under community control saka control ng PNP ano.
Mm-hmm.
So far generally it will be a very peaceful election. Meron lang sigurong alam mo naman sa Pilipinas hindi mawawala yung mga awayan ng mga kandidato. So meron yan but it is very isolated.
Mm-hmm.
At saka kunti lang yan. Now after election I don't think magkakaroon tayo ng kaguluhan dahil sabi ko nga kung sino yung ipoproclaim ng COMELEC, yun ang pa natin, ang i-recognize natin na nanalo. Ang inyong kasundaluhan ay gagawin lahat ng kanilang magagawa para tahimik at maayos yung ating eleksyon ngayong narating na eleksyon sa araw, sa Lunes.
Mm-hmm.
A political strategist urging polling firms to reconsider their method of interviews. Truth Watch Philippines head Dante Velasco points out the result of pre-election surveys may not fully reflect the sentiment of the public. He believes the youth are underrepresented in surveys.
The youth are out of the house, which means when the interviewers of Pulse Asia went to the house, probably they have not encountered the young because the young presumably are outside the house. They are off to work and off to other activities or off to the rallies.
Presidential candidate Ferdinand Marcos Jr. continues to lead in the last pre-election survey of Pulse Asia, enjoying a wide margin over rival Vice President Lenny Robredo. Marcos's running mate, Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte, also topped the vice presidential preference survey. As the May 9 polls draw closer, more individuals and groups are joining calls to prevent the family of the late dictator Ferdinand Marcos Sr. from returning to Malacañang. The latest to speak out against presidential survey frontrunner Ferdinand Marcos Jr. is former Senator Nikki Koseteng, and she now joins us here on the program. Senator Koseteng, nice to see you again. Welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Carmina.
Right, so let's begin this discussion. As a former public servant, as Senator Koseteng, you've seen and been through many elections in the span of your career. Why is May 9, 2022 different for you, Senator? Senator, I'm so sorry to do this to you, but I think you're on mute. Can you kindly unmute your device? It's not. Okay, can we try it again? Can you speak? Because I heard you a while ago. Senator Koseteng. Okay. We're going to try and call you back. I apologize for that. We're going to try to fix that technical glitch. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, of course, our conversation and an interview with Senator Nikki Koseteng. But also, the European Union announces plans to embargo Russian oil. More on that when we come back. Stay with us. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. We are back. You're still Dateline Philippines here on ANC, and we have with us former Senator Nikki Koseteng, who has recently joined calls to prevent the family of the late dictator Ferdinand Marcos from returning to Malacañang. Senator, good afternoon to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon to everyone. Good afternoon, Carmina.
All right. So let's move on with our discussion. As a citizen and as a former public servant, you've seen a lot of elections in the past. What makes May 9, 2022 different for you, Senator?
I think the main element that has made it different is social media, the massive trolling. That's one thing that I have observed. Another thing is the outpouring of support for a candidate like Lenny Robredo, where you see the people just doing things, bringing things, helping out. In unprecedented numbers. This is something that I have not seen. even during our time, there was no social media. People were helping, people were volunteering, etc. But nothing like this.
Okay, later
this is unbelievable.
Later on, we're going to talk about social media and how you took to social media to air what you really had to say days before May 9. But first, what really is at stake here? We're only counting days before people troop to the polls. What to you is really at stake here in the elections?
I think the number one thing that we need is good governance. That's one. Second, it's a very clear path or clear track of what we want to do with ourselves based on national interest. There has to be a complete redefinition of terms. We have to start asking different questions. For example, is it more prevalent, for example, for people to ask, paano ako kikita dyan? How is it going to benefit me? Vis-a-vis, how can the majority benefit from whatever policies or whatever, you know, actions government will take? Mm. Those questions are hardly ever asked and maybe put to fore, you know. Another thing is also the return of organized groups, alumni associations, maybe, you know, concerned citizens groups, etc. I think there's now a conscientization that when we support a president and he or she wins, I hope it's a she, then you don't leave the winner to her own devices. Mm. You still have to be there. And I think that this time, the very supporters of the candidates will be their very critics when they're already in office. They're very police force when they're in office.
Senator,
and if Lenny wins, I think that's what will happen.
Senator, a while ago you mentioned social media, and as you said, correctly pointed out, unprecedented what has been happening even before the official campaign season began. And you took to social media to write to the public an open letter wherein you said, it's not verbatim what I'm going to, how I'm going to quote you, but basically saying that you don't know, you're not friends with Vice President Lenny Robredo, but you know Marcos. You said what he and his family have done to individuals, our institutions, and to us as a people, as a nation, is public knowledge, easily verifiable, and with basis in fact. And that is more than enough to know he must not be allowed to return to Malacañang. But let me ask you this, Senator Coseteng, why do you think that we're even in this situation?
Well, that's going to be a very long answer. But it's more, I think, because the administrations that followed the Marcos regime did not really pay much attention to correcting or to rewriting or writing the correct history. And so this was never brought to the attention of the youth. And the youth at that time, they're now more than 18 years old of age, more than 18 years old, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. Secondly, I think there has been a like massive propaganda campaign over the last 5 years of Marcos and their own trolls and their own social media or PR practitioners, etc. And these people have managed to shape this impression based on lies, based on fables, based on inaccuracies, etc. And to push and change history, to push the change of our history.
Mm.
And I think this is significant. However, we and the other side, let's call it the other side, never really, you know, bothered to correct it, because maybe they thought, yeah, mo puro kasi nung halingan naman yan eh, kaya okay lang, di ba? It's not going to flourish.
Hmm.
But you know, a lie told a million times to many become the truth.
Hmm.
And that's exactly, this may be the psychiatrists and the professionals know this better than I do.
Mm.
But and they also have managed to study the Filipino psyche. What makes the Filipino tick? You know, what will make them clutch onto straws? And what will make them embrace these fantasies? One, economic condition. Another thing is maybe a reminder that, ooh, makikinabang tayo dyan. Kasi nakinabang na tayo nun eh. Diba? Mm-hmm. Or, nakikinabang naman tayo kahit papano. So it's really a personal pakikinabang. It's not ever a, what's good for my country should be good for me. Mm-hmm. Or if my country is strong, my country is prosperous, I will be strong and prosperous as well. Mm. And many countries have adopted that policy for the last several hundred years. Mm. You know, they've been true to that. And the solutions to their problems are homegrown and very well studied. And the number one beneficiary should be the majority of our people. Pag hindi ganyan ang batayan, napakahirap, napakahirap. Kasi when only you are prosperous and everyone else is poor, then you have a social tinderbox. It can blow up anytime, and it can blow up with you in it. You know, and that's the thing I don't want to happen.
Senator, in your letter, you also said that you're resigned to a reality that it will soon get so worse before it even gets better. You went yes. on to give details that point to some 30 years of wait before the recovery and the progress that we're seeing right now. How sure are you, though, Senator Cosetteng, that this will happen again, that people will again go through the worst if a Marcos Jr. presidency indeed happens?
Well, as the saying goes, history repeats itself. And those who pay no attention to history are doomed to commit the same mistakes. We knew what the situation was towards the fall of the Marcos dictatorship. How much poverty there was. And no amount of glossing and, you know, candy coating can remove that. I will never forget the image of Joel Abong. You can even look him up in the internet today. Thank God there's internet now. And there's Joel Abong, and he was the poster boy of poverty in the Philippines. He was from Negros Occidental. That was the situation. Then, after the demise of that regime, there was like a period of consolidation, a period of reconciliation, a period of trust, a period of dignity for ourselves in the eyes of the world. That was under the Cory presidency. I say reconciliation because nobody was lined up on the wall and firing squadded. Mm. Nobody. Nobody was put to jail because of hidden wealth or any such things. Members of the Marcos clique voluntarily came forward, surrendered some of those properties, surrendered some of that wealth, and joined the Cory administration. Mm. They ran under Lacaz, they ran under LDP. We were friends, I was with them in Congress. Mm-hmm. They helped me run and win in their own respective provinces, you know? And this is nationwide. The massive appreciation of how Cory handled it, in spite of the fact that it was a revolutionary government, mm-hmm. nobody was shot. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's one of the reasons why.
Was it naive for the administration then to have this?
I don't want to call them naive because mm-hmm. they were very serious and seasoned politicians at that time. Policymakers, etc. I think it's because Cory herself was not that kind of person. Mm-mm. I don't see Cory as ordering somebody to shoot these people because they're Marcos people and they're holding Marcos wealth. Mm. I cannot imagine her doing that.
But can you say, Senator, that that was the beginning of normalizing their return to power?
Maybe not immediately. The normalizing of the return to power maybe happened several administrations after. Because during that time, many of the Marcos people were allowed to go about their businesses. They were not confiscated. The businesses that made Marcos strong and accumulate so much money, the land is still with them to this day. Their businesses are there to this day. They were already, maybe appreciated and embraced into the fold of the political order. Mm. As a matter of fact, many of them continue their dynasties, their economic and political hold in the different regions where they belong, etc. And, you know, we didn't take it against them at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So when I say 30 years, I remember I had a loan and I had to pay 25% interest on a loan. Can you imagine what will happen to all the people who own 1, 2, 3 bedroom condos today, bought small houses, etc., borrowed money to put up restaurants, to put up franchises, you know, I guess many people now own franchises. They have loans in the banks.
But how sure are you that that
can you imagine from 7% that they will go to 25 or 30%? They'll all go bankrupt. They will lose their houses. They will all be foreclosed.
How sure are you that that indeed will happen? How certain are you that that's the scenario that awaits the people?
Let's put it this way. I hope I'm wrong. But I went through it. I went through it. My father practically lost his, lost his shirt because of this. Loans were not paid. The banks, you know, suffered losses, severe losses, etc. Now, what happened then, I can see happening today. Look at all the businesses closing. Look at all the malls that have empty spaces, you know. And a lot of people, developers, etc., that built a lot of condos. I hope this does not collapse like a house of cards.
But then what do you say to people who say that, but that's not because of Marcos Jr. and his family, that's because of the pandemic?
I don't want to think that it's only because of the pandemic. The pandemic is a factor. But when people are afraid, people are uncertain, they take certain measures to preserve themselves. And when that happens, you get a snowballing, you know, there's a domino effect of this. As I said, I leave that to the economists. I'm just fearful because the recovery after Marcos's poverty-stricken administration, when Cory inherited a totally bankrupt administration, maybe more than half, maybe 60%, if I recall right, of our national budget went to debt service. I recall it's more than 50 million pesos a day, the debt service of the Bataan nuclear plant. I recall that. I mean, that can be further validated by science, by research, by documents, etc. But what I'm saying is that took 30 years. I was only 30, maybe I was only 20 plus in those days, and 30. And I had enough time to see this recovery. And people who say, wala naman nangyari eh. Walang nangyari sa kanila if they keep doing the same thing up to today. Wala nangyari sa kanila. But those who lifted themselves up, got themselves an education. Some people, maybe they were just pushing a push cart, but their children today are physical therapists. They may be nurses today. Some labandera, kusinera today have children who are accountants, have left for greener pastures abroad and are bringing home in the billions, tens of billions of dollars every year.
And you point that out in your letter that you said, to the point that you said this all happened without the Marcoses.
Yes, exactly. All of that. All the condominiums, the buildings you see, all the malls you see. There was no Marcos in sight. No Marcos at all in sight. You know, I remember SM. I keep using that as an example. SM had only 3 department stores and maybe 1 or 2 malls. Today, they're pushing 80 and hitting 100 malls by the end of this year. Where's Marcos there?
Senator, in your letter...
These are all fueled by the money earned by the Filipino people buying in SM. And you can write the entire litany, Ayala, you know, Gokongwei, Robinson's, etc., etc. All these other establishments thrived and blossomed and bloomed without the Marcoses.
Senator, as you ended your letter, you posed several questions to the readers. You said that, you asked actually, are we going to be part of the problem or be part of the solution? You also said and asked, or do we just remain as fence sitters? But there's this final question that you pose to viewers. You also asked, or place our bets on all horses so that we too will win whoever emerges as the winner. You and I both know that this has been the practice, but I want you to tell us now, who are you addressing in that final question, Senator Kwaseteng?
I think these are the people who feel that they can work with any administration. These are people who feel that since they are already way, way, way above what is known as average, and that position has to be kept and has to be maintained at all costs, they also know that, you know, putting their bets on one horse may cause a collapse or maybe just a hiccup in their business undertakings. Maybe they have pending deals that will take more than just one or two, three administrations to consummate. So they're very, very careful. Why? Because they want to also be influencers in the next administration.
Why should this practice stop?
Sorry?
Why should this practice stop?
Well, I think if they want to survive, if we want to survive as a nation, that element must stop. Because that's the reason why, over the last so many years, regardless of the administration, there's a small sector that is able to become millionaires, billionaires, trillionaires, and the majority have either lost their shirts, on the brink of losing their shirts, or never had any shirts at all. So when we do this, you know, you see a lot of wealthy people, they don't even want to drive their Mercedes, Benz and their BMW 7 Series outside. Why? Naku, baka ma-hold up ako. Baka makidnap ako. That alone is already an indication that your society is violent and your society is a threat to you. You have no peace of mind. You don't feel that way when you go somewhere else. You don't look over your shoulders and find out, you know, I walk to the mall, not drive to the mall, and I'm not afraid. Some bullet comes to my head. That is only another statement that this is a very, very sick, dangerous society. And I don't want to be part of anything that will push that kind of society. You know, last Holy Week, you saw the lines of people in the carousel, in waiting for the buses, in the bus stations. That alone is a crime, to subject your citizens to that kind of torture, humiliation. And yet what? The Department of Transportation, that is, the head is Secretary Tugade, appointed by the President of the Republic of the Philippines, is clapping his hands. Obviously, because he has not accepted, or any of his minions, LTFRB, etc., have not accepted one single forum where I am asking questions. Ba't nyo ginaganyan ng pasahero ng bus? Diba? Regardless of your status in life, I take the bus to Baguio. I'm not ashamed of doing that. The president, vice president, future president, hopefully, Lenny Robredo, takes the bus to Bicol. She's not ashamed of that.
Let's talk about Vice President Lenny Robredo now. In that letter, Senator Kwaseteng, you put it out there that it's now the race is between Marcos Jr. and Vice President Robredo. And you mince no words. You are pushing for people to vote for Vice President Robredo. But here's the question. How sure are you that the bleak picture that you point, that you paint when it comes to a possible Marcos Jr. presidency won't be the same case if the vice president wins, considering the fact that many who are backing her presidential bid now are people who propped up this failed system, the very same system that failed the people? How sure are you, Senator?
I would rather put my place my bet on Vice President Lenny Robredo, because as I mentioned earlier, under the Cory administration, nobody was lined up on the wall and shot, because that's not her psyche, that's not her composition. You know, she's not like that. I mentioned in my letter, I don't know Lenny up close. She's not my barkada. She's not my buddy or chummy-chummy with her. I'm not chummy-chummy with her. But I would rather intelligently and emotionally cast my lot with her, because I think she's of a different stuff and a different mold of a different mold. I remember Mr. Marcos as candidate today, before. Never worked. All they did was go to the disco, and they were always high on drugs. And I know them. They're the very same people supporting him today. But I don't condemn them. That's their life. They have all the money. They have all the resources. They don't have to drag their feet and work and show people, even to pretend, you know. All right. I'd rather cast my lot to somebody, with somebody who I feel can give us a break, just a respite, even just the jargon, even just the conversation, just to change the conversation means a lot to many people.
Senator,
just the words used, even that.
Senator, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to be, I'm going to have to go back to the statement that you just made, that you know the Marcos, that Marcos says, were you pertaining to the candidate now, Marcos Jr., when you said that he wasn't working?
Yes.
And the statement that you said about drug use, were you also pertaining to Marcos Jr.?
Yes, they were always high. You can have a list.
And why
of
do you
friends.
Know that? Why do you know that? How do you know that?
Well, we grew up in the same era. We grew up in the same time. Everybody hears about it. You know, they go to Stargazer, they go to other discos, etc. And everybody knows it. And it was just accepted. Why? He's the son of the president. There's even a singing group abroad that mentioned, you know, that he's got people bringing him the stuff, you know.
But you weren't there for sure to witness it.
I don't think they denied it. I don't think they even denied that, you know, because everybody knows it.
All right.
And President Duterte said it. I'm not saying it because he said it. I know I'm saying it because during our time, you know, he's not very much younger than me. It's not like I'm 69 years old today and he is 25. It's not like that, you know. I mean, we're not very far from each other. So in those days, even I could afford to go to the discos. But I wasn't a druggie. And I can say that with a straight face, you know.
Senator Cosentang, we're just counting days. Let's go full circle here. We're counting days before May 9. A lot of people actually having anxiety, not being able to sleep because of what's going to happen come May 9 and after that. But I want
including
you to talk.
Me. That's including me.
Me also. But anyway, let's talk to the people now. Give them your message. I mean, you said a lot in that letter. But two things that you want people to think about before they cast their vote come election day. Give us those two things.
I'd like people to, number one, think of our present. Number two, to think of our future. This is going to be a whole litany of things, but those two things I think are important. First. Second, we think of our country first. And then think of ourselves. It cannot be the other way around. I'm sorry. And finally, if we want to see things done differently, or if we want to see results, different results, sabi nila, walang nangyayari, pare-pareho lang yan, ganyan. You want to see different results? Then, let's do things differently. There are different ways. As they say, there's different ways of skinning a cat. But since my days in UP, 1970, I entered the University of the Philippines. You want to continue doing the same thing. Some people try to do things different. They will never win another election. Some people try to introduce new ideas. They will never win another election. Whose fault is that? is the candidate's fault. You know, you have a Senate of 24 people. At the time, the House of Representatives had maybe 200 during my time. So you cannot do it just one at a time. And if those who can try to do something will never win for lack of money, for whatever other reasons, then we have to start rethinking what our solutions are. Not because Marcos is going to give us more gold.
We're going to have to leave it at that. I'm sorry, but we've run out of time. Former Senator Nikki Koseteng there joining us this afternoon. Nice to see you again. Thanks
Thank
for joining
you,
us.
I miss you and I miss your parents too.
Oh, yeah. Yes. They say hello. All right. Thank you.
All the best. I hope we choose the right person. And the last person standing, I hope, is a woman. Thank you very much.
Former Senator Nikki Koseteng there joining us this afternoon. Giving us her thoughts about what we should think about just days before Election Day. All right, moving on. News overseas now. Two Omicron subvariants are driving an increase in COVID-19 cases in South Africa. The two subvariants, identified as BA4 and BA5, were first identified in South Africa early this year. They have since been found in the U.S. and some European nations. The World Health Organization says it's too soon to know whether these new subvariants can cause more severe disease. But it stressed testing and sequencing remain critical, even as trends show declining COVID cases.
Globally, reported cases and deaths from COVID-19 are continuing to decline, with reported weekly deaths at their lowest since March 2020. But these trends, while welcome, don't tell the full story. In many countries, we're essentially blind to how the virus is mutating. We don't know what's coming next.
Philippine inflation earlier accelerated to its highest level since 2018 in April. Our correspondent Warren De Guzman now joins us with more details. Warren, over to you.
Good afternoon, Carmina. At 4.9%, the April inflation reading is the highest since December 2018, when inflation was at 5.2%. 2018 was also the year when inflation hit the highest level, or its highest level in a decade, due to high rice prices and food supply issues caused by storms. Now, inflation has been rising since the start of 2022, but only because of rising fuel costs attributed by most to the Ukraine-Russia conflict and its impact on global commodities markets. National statistician Undersecretary Dennis Mata says while it was fuel like gasoline and LPG that had pushed inflation higher in the first quarter, higher transport costs finally spilled over and impacted food last month.
Pumalo naman doon sa food items. In particular, I would like to mention four sub-items into the as part of the food and non-alcoholic beverages. So ito ay vegetables na may inflation na 9.2%. Ang weight niya ay 2.8% sa basket. Meat, 4.2%. Ang weight niya ay 6.4%. Fish, ang inflation ay 5.0%. Ang weight niya sa basket ay 5.6%. At yung flour, bread, ang inflation niya 4.5%. Ang weight niya ay 2.9%. So, ito yung nakikita namin na nagkaroon ng impact dito sa mga food items na medyo matataas din yung weight sa ating food basket. We are actually monitoring itong week na to ay mayroon kaming visit sa mga outlets namin para makita namin yung changes sa prices. Ano? Sa ngayon, from the data and of course yung aming information from our respondents, yung mga key informants namin, wala pa kaming nakikita na shift.
The Philippine Central Bank expects elevated inflation at above the preferred range of 2-4% to continue, again reflecting the impact of the Ukraine conflict on global commodities. The central bank adds higher oil prices will impact transport fares, and there are still concerns about domestic food supply. However, lingering COVID-19 woes and the threat of tightening mobility restrictions may lower demand and inflation as well. The central bank has a monetary board rate-setting meeting on May 19th to discuss whether or not it should change its policy settings to address high inflation. central bank has the option to use some of its monetary tools to impact money supply if it feels that has, that is having an impact on prices. And more money in the system creates more demand for goods, leading to higher prices. Based on BSP data, bank lending has been growing for 8 consecutive months, with the last expansion at 8.9% in March. Domestic liquidity or money supply grew 7.6% year-on-year that same month. Meanwhile, Socio-Economic Planning Secretary Carl Chua says the government is accelerating the implementation of interventions to temper the impact of inflation and rising prices. Those interventions include cash transfers to vulnerable sectors, particularly the transport sector. Government data show as of April 30, around 180,000 PUV drivers and operators have received their 6,500 peso fuel subsidy from the Pantawid Pasada program. The Department of Energy also continues its efforts to secure 1 to 4 peso per liter discounts from private oil companies for the public transport sector. And the Department of Agriculture is also implementing a fuel subsidy program for farmers and fisher folk. Carmina, back to you.
Thanks a lot, Warren. Take care and you keep safe. Back in the newsroom, the Philippine government's outstanding debt climbs to a new high in March. It amounted to 12.68 trillion pesos. A nearly 5% increase from February. Of that figure, about 70% were domestic loans, while the rest were foreign borrowings. The Philippines has been borrowing heavily over the past 2 years to fund its pandemic response. The palace assures Filipinos the funds were put to good use. The U.S. Federal Reserve hikes its benchmark interest rate by half a percentage point in its most aggressive step yet to fight inflation. The increase was the biggest in 22 years following a quarter point hike in March. But Fed Chairman Jerome Powell says this is just the first in a series of 50 basis point rate hikes. The Fed will also begin shrinking its $9 trillion asset portfolio next month.
We are on a path to move our policy rate expeditiously to more normal levels, assuming that economic and financial conditions evolve in line with expectations. There is a broad sense on the committee that additional 50 basis point increases should be on the table at the next couple of meetings. We'll make our decisions meeting by meeting as we learn from incoming data and the evolving outlook for the economy. It's a strong economy, and nothing about it suggests that it's close to or vulnerable to a recession. Now, of course, given events around the world and fading fiscal policy effects and higher rates, you could see some slower economic activity.
Inflation in the U.S. surged to 8.5% in March, the biggest jump since December of 1981. But the war in Ukraine and ongoing lockdowns in China are worsening global supply chain woes, pushing commodity prices even higher. In sports, the Miami Heat again ran past the Philadelphia 76ers 119-103 to take a 2-0 series lead in their second round matchup. The Heat used a balanced attack in subduing the Sixers. Center Bam Adebayo led four Heat players with 18 points or more. Tyrese Maxey had a game-high 34 points for Philadelphia, which continues to miss MVP contender Joel Embiid, who is out with an eye injury. In local hoops, the Ateneo Blue Eagles are back in the UAAP men's basketball finals. Meanwhile, the De La Salle Green Archers forced a rubber match against the UP Fighting Maroons for the second finals berth. Our very own Migs Bustos now joins us for a wrap of the UAAP Final Four. Migs?
You're right, Carmina. The Ateneo Blue Eagles are on their way to the finals once again for the fifth straight time as they defeated the FEU Tamaraws Wednesday 85-72 in the UAAP Final Four. Ateneo's PJ Andrade was the spark plug as he scored a team-high 16 points and Squamic grabbed 18 rebounds while RJ Abarrientos for FEU with 16 points. Ateneo used a 33-point outburst in the second quarter to gain cushion and took control most of the game. The FEU Tamaraws are now eliminated this season and the Blue Eagles will face the winner of the DLSU Green Archers UP Fighting Maroon semifinal series. Speaking of the Maroons are seeded at number 2 and have the twice lead advantage. But the Green Archers refused to go home early as they beat the UP Fighting Maroons 83-80 in Wednesday's semifinal match. The South point guard Evan Nelly scored a UAP career-high 26 points and dished out 7 assists, while Maudutiov and Richie Rivero from the Maroons both top scored for UP at 18 points apiece. The rubber match of both teams will take place tomorrow, Friday, at the Mall of Asia Arena, and the winner will advance to the finals to face the Ateneo Blue Eagles. Carmina, this season, Ateneo has won against De La Salle twice, while the Blue Eagles split the season series with UP at 1-1. Note that the Fighting Maroons was the only team that beat the Blue Eagles since 2018. Meanwhile, if La Salle advances to the finals, you can take out the records and stats. Any Ateneo La Salle final series will always go down the wire because of their storied rivalry. Carmina, back to you.
Thanks a lot. Mix Bustos there joining us on the line. And back here in the newsroom, dozens of film directors joined forces to spread a message of awareness as the Philippine elections near. The Directors Guild of the Philippines has released a video message urging fellow Filipinos to choose light and fight darkness as they cast their votes. Among those who took part in the project are directors Alav Diaz, June Lana, and Eric Mati. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Consentino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.